67 and a 66 today for a 15 under par total of 195. That is the lowest 54 hole score in U.S. Senior Open history. Kirkle, to start off, how much fun are you having out there?
Well, it's fun when it's going good, you know, so you have to enjoy it. You know, Kenny made that long putt on 16 and I made a comment to the crowd, and you know, you got to enjoy the heat of the competition. I was watching the 30 for 30 this morning about the Lakers and the Celtics, which, you know, people my age were thrilled with that basketball. And when those guys look back on it and tell the stories about it, you know, they may have been really in it in the heat of the moment, but when they look back on it, they are absolutely love what they were a part of. And that's sort of my goal with this. I want to embrace it. I want to love having a chance tomorrow to win a USGA championship. I mean, that's what I want to do. I might not do it, but I want to love having the chance to do it. And so that's easy to say sitting here at this table. It's not so easy when you snap hook it under a tree or something. So you try and carry that attitude through.
What do you say to the crowd on 16?
Well, I just said that Kenny Perry's not a very nice man.
Well, let's go into your round a little bit. You started off with an eagle on the sixth hole.
Yeah.
Really had your short game was working, you know, even if you weren't in the green, a chip in on nine and a great, great bunker shot in hole number six.
Yeah, I think that was kind of where I was trying to hit the ball with where that pin was. I felt like short or in the right-hand bunker would be better than, you know, through the green. Kenny was in the same bunker, 2 feet behind me, hit a beautiful bunker shot to a foot, and it just looked so easy. I just kind of tried to duplicate that, and really I did. I wasn't really, like, thinking about making it or anything. I was just trying to, you know, get the ball to end up just short of the hole and, you know, have an easy birdie. And, you know, when it goes in, you enjoy it.
And then ninth hole, you were short right in two.
Yeah, I misjudged that hole all week long. I think the fairway must run away from me a little bit because I've hit the right edge of that green 3 days in a row. But yeah, and that was a very straightforward shot. And again, that particular club, it's my most lofted ping sandwich, and you know, it's an I2 sandwich. I've used that model of club since probably 1987. You know, it's had a number of different groove configurations, but I know what that club does. It's a weapon. I've always been what I consider a reasonable to very good chipper, and you know, I don't think they're going to go in all the time, but I'm not that surprised when they do. And tournaments that I've had success or won over the years, yeah, that once in a while there's, I'm not afraid to chip the ball in.
Didn't need the putter there, but then on 10 made a great putt, little left to righter.
Yeah, that was. And I said earlier to someone that I'm seeing the amount of break better than I think a lot of the guys are. I'm seeing more break than almost every player. And I think the combination of the slowness of speed and the slope of the greens, guys are really under-reading a lot of their putts, both speed-wise and break-wise. And I think that was one where I think if I told my pro-am partner to hit it on that line, he would have looked at me like I was crazy. But the minute I hit it, I knew it had a pretty good chance to just kind of go in that top edge.
And then 14, par 5, another great bunker shot.
Yeah, that was a really poor three-wood to end up in that bunker with that long bunker shot. It is one that I practice, but to hit it under those conditions, I'm not going to lie to you, I was thinking about some of the things that could happen. but to hit that in there behind the hole, and you know, I wasn't thinking too much about making that putt. It was a pretty shifty putt coming down that shoulder, and then Kenny knocked his putt in, and I thought, you know, I better just really try and read this one, because it was one you really had to figure out the line and just tap it and trust that it would roll down that line. I probably spent more time reading that putt than any other putt, so we were both feeling pretty good when we walked over to 15T.
And as you both started to pull away from the rest of the field, did you have kind of a match play mentality, or were you still just trying to do your thing in the golf course?
Well, I think that would have been really easy to fall into, and I try and treat it, you know, even more like a stroke play event. You know, like when he would hit a good shot, I'd be like, "Yeah, man, great putt, bro, way to go, way to knock it in," you know, instead of being like Pacquiao and the other guy, you know, standing face-to-face staring at each other. But I think what we probably both wanted to accomplish today was to get some cushion on the field. When I saw that Brant Jobe had shot 8 under, which, you know, kind of upsets me, but that's all right. I'll share. But I was worried that all these guys at 5, 6, and 7 were going to throw up a bunch of 5s and 6s at us today, you know, because you kind of look and see what the scores are early. And if there's some really low scores like that, you feel like, well, the course is probably gettable. And there were a couple of guys that did that. VJ did well. Tom Lehman got off to a good start. But they both kind of fell back a little bit because it was tricky. It was the winds were gusty and a little bit different direction, and you had to make some changes to your strategy. But kind of by the early in the back nine, I was looking at it going, man, if we can get in there at 14, 15 and have that 5-6 shot cushion, you know, that's what the mini goal would be for today, right? If you ideally were looking for something, you know.
Yeah, in fact, you two were the only ones in the last 7 groups to shoot under par coming in, so conditions did seem to play a little tougher. The last question I'll have before we open it up, you're behind Kenny a little bit off the tee, but at the same time, do you think that gives you an advantage that you're hitting in first and can potentially put some pressure on him?
Being 30 yards behind somebody is never an advantage. Never. So I play with my son all the time. He hits it 30 yards past me, so I'm used to it. So...
fair enough.
Yeah.
We'll open it up. If you can raise your hand, we'll have a microphone over to you to ask the question. Go here in the front right first.
You mentioned the Celtics and the Lakers rivalry. Which side of that were you on, or did you have a different team entirely?
Well, I was certainly a Larry Bird fan, always. Yeah. I played golf with Kevin McHale, actually, about 2 or 3 months ago, and had maybe one of the most fun times playing golf in my whole life.
You're not just saying that because you're here.
What's that?
You're not just saying that.
You had to pick sides before he was a Celtic, right? You had to pick sides in that Michigan State, Indiana State game. So I picked sides long before that.
Question over here on the left.
Hey, Kirk. Obviously, I haven't won a major yet. Just what would it mean for you to be able to prevail at this event?
Well, I think outside of, you know, my first PGA Tour win, I think this would really be, you know, the most important thing that I would have accomplished in my career. So, you know, I've won some tournaments. I enjoy the chance to win them. I think it's really exciting. But this is something different because I played in the USGA Public Links Championship. I played in the US Amateur Championship. I played in 15-plus U.S. Opens. You know, I've played in 4 or 5 of these. I've been around these USGA guys a lot, right? So good experiences and bad experiences with them.
So at this point in your career, do you still feel pressure tomorrow? Do you feel pressure?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's why I'm still playing. If there was no pressure, we wouldn't be out here doing it. So, you know, it's more fun to shoot a good round when it really means something than, you know, on Tuesday afternoon at the club.
Other questions for Kirk? One other here on the right.
116, it's one that got away from you, but to be able to bounce back and get up and down at 17, how big was that for you to come in with that?
Well, I think, you know, for both of us, you know, I hit a poor second shot there. I haven't figured out that hole yet. That was probably my divot. My second shot was in over onto the left there. But to hit a nice little chip up there and, you know, pretty straightforward putt. But, yes, after the putt before where I just, you know, kind of – I had one of those ones where I said, don't miss it left. So I didn't. I missed it to the right. And to hit a really nice putt there. I think Kenny gave me a little bit of a reprieve there, too, when he hit his first putt way too hard. And then we had about the same length putt, but he was a little farther away, and he put a beautiful roll on it right in the middle. And I was like, that's what you got to do. You got to find a way to make a 4. And I did. I picked my line and stayed true to it and hit it right on it and just caught the right edge and went in. So, yeah, that certainly made me feel pretty good, you know, because I think I said it earlier in the week, you know, 17, 18 are going to know, they still have a role to play out here. And I think they probably already played it a little bit with some of those groups coming in today where guys made some larger numbers or bogeys, and it kind of stopped their momentum.
Go to Ron here in the center.
Kirk, I'm not sure if you're aware, but you and Kenny were the only two players in the last seven groupings to play under par this afternoon. Maybe it looked not necessarily easier, but obviously there's a lot of potential pitfalls out there. How good was that 66 compared to the 62 you shot in round one?
Well, they were different kind of rounds. I mean, the 62, there were a lot of good scores. You were in a completely different mindset, you know, not worrying. So it was more of a, you were just trying to make more, right? This one's, it becomes more calculated by Saturday, right? There's a lot of chips in front of you. You don't just want to start shoving them all in, right? You know, you might put in a little bit at a time by, I'm going to play, you know, that pin on 11's up there on that shelf. I'm just going to take a club that I know is not going over the green, right, and hit a perfectly good shot and walk up to the green and go, you know, I'm fine with 30 feet up the tier here. So that aspect of the strategy is different from early in the tournament and because of the conditions that were on Thursday. But I think in my mind, I still thought the course was playing, must have been playing fairly easy because I saw that 8-under, you know, and I saw Vijay at 5 or 6-under, you know, at one point during the round. But yeah, by the time we were in the middle of the back nine or early in the back nine, nobody else was doing that. There was a whole bunch of even pars and one overs. And I mean, you got to, I've never been a guy that looks away from the scoreboard and, you know, one quick look and I can see what's going on. So I think, you know, I had some good fortune, made some birdies, made some good saves. Kenny hit a lot of good shots, you know, and he and I were just, I think, trying to keep pace with each other more so than the guys behind us, if that makes sense.
Any last questions for Kirk? All right, Kirk Triplett, your 54-hole leader. Best of luck tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, guys. Hope to be here again.